Welcome to the Careering into Motherhood podcast, where every fortnight I talk to a different career coach about her experience, her expertise, and what exactly it is that they do. My guest today is Hazel Anderson Turner. Hazel is a trained business psychologist whose own personal experience after the birth of her daughter led her to coaching and wanting to help other women. Great to have you on the show, Hazel. Now, when we first met, you were sitting in a cafe somewhere in the southwest, weren't you? I think. Yeah. But you were talking about loads of really interesting stuff because you are a trained psychologist, which is quite interesting to then also add sort of coaching around that. I mean, firstly, what drew you, I guess, what drew you to psychology? And I always say I'm just fundamentally a nosy person, which is why I just love this podcast. So I get to grill people and find out, you know, ask all the questions that would be really rude if I came up to you in the street and just said, so what do you do? Why do you do that? But I guess psychology is, I don't know, is it similar? You're sort of unpicking things for people.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people go into psychology because they want to understand themselves better.
Really? Yeah.
Definitely. You know, on the course, it's really evident. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. That stuff showing up in you or it's showing up in me. But I originally got into psychology. So my first degree was actually in management. So it's a management science. And we did a module on organisational behaviour. And I was fascinated. So one of the early studies about the Industrial Revolution, and actually, if you took a production line that had people who were just kind of worked as hard as they could, compared to one where people were encouraged and given positive feedback, the difference in performance. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. After my degree, I guess I kind of thought, oh, I'd like to understand that a bit more. Wouldn't it be great to be a business psychologist? And so in my spare time, I went and did a degree in psychology and then a master's in occupational psychology. And so, yeah, the dream was, I think, to bring together that understanding of people and behaviour in a business context, which just, yeah, really interested me. I think because we spend so much of our time there, that's the bit where I was like, this is where it would be really interesting, I think, to just know more about what happens to humans when they're in groups and when they're, in that context.
Because, I mean, I think recently there's been this whole move towards bring your whole self to work and so on. And I don't know, I'd love to know your thoughts on that, whether that is actually really possible. You know, because there's also so much talk at the moment about, you know, culture, organisational culture. And if you're all actually bringing your true self to work, I don't know. I does that mean if you go and work for a big bank, that's truly who you really are? And I don't know, and just really interested in your thoughts on how authentic you can be at work.
I guess I'm for that as much as possible. The work that I do around values is about, I think, connecting. So when I'm working with clients and we're looking at values from a sense of your whole self, so bringing all of those aspects into your work, I think the piece about that kind of alignment with the workplace values is the interesting bit, to say it doesn't have to be an exact overlap. It's about, I think, being able to feel that there is some kind of values alignment. You are able to bring your whole self. I do a lot of work around psychological safety as well. So that idea that, you know, you feel as if someone's got your back, as if you're seen. I think that's really important. But I don't think there doesn't need to be an exact values alignment. I think it's important that the core values that you have, the things that are most important to you, are definitely seen and respected by the organization. But I think we bring a whole kind of range of stuff that goes beyond just maybe the particular type of work that we do or organization that we work for. I don't know if that's answered your question.
Yeah, no, it has. And I, you know, as you're talking there, again, really interested in your thoughts, but this is often where I feel working mums come a cropper, or the organisation comes a cropper, because all of that stuff about what's important to you once you become a parent
it shifts, it yeah. changes. You know, I remember having a conversation with somebody saying, you know, look, I have to leave because if I am not at the nursery to pick him up, there is a real life at risk. If I'm not at that meeting, then no one dies, right? Mm. And that mismatch that suddenly becomes so glaringly obvious when you're a parent is obviously what forces so many women out of organisations. And again, you know, I don't know, do you do work with organisations where they're trying to retain and attract diverse talent and things like that? Or how do you work with clients when there's suddenly this realization that actually this isn't what I thought it was anymore?
Yes, and I think it's a case of, like you say, clarification of what is really important to me. And there's also the piece about identity as well, because what I see in a lot of female clients returning to work is actually going back, and I definitely experienced this myself, I expected that I would be the same. I had that work hard, or I have that work hard drive. And so that for me came out as a working long hours and saying yes to everything and all that kind of people pleasing. And so that, I think if for me, it was more a battle with myself around, okay, Hazel, you've got a part to play in putting boundaries in, and about saying, you know, I guess having the courage to even say, actually, at the moment, my family is more important than what I'm achieving. And that isn't to say that there isn't a responsibility for organisations, and that it is absolutely, I think, for individuals, it's that bit about what can I control. And I think there's something about one, taking responsibility for your own behaviour and saying, what is it that I'm doing to kind of, I don't know, make it harder for myself. But then also, I think when you do have those conversations with the workplace, there has to be an acknowledgement that things are different. And I get really annoyed about when I'm working with clients who are working, you know, incredibly long hours beyond their contract, and they say it's great because I've got some flexibility at this time because I could leave at this time and be able to do this thing because there's flexibility. But actually, the flexibility tends to go to the benefit of the organisation more than the benefit. And there's still that kind of guilt of, if I leave at, you know, 4 o'clock, it's like, oh, half day.
Remember it.
Yeah. And we feel it in ourselves. So I think there's definitely something, you know, work that we can do with ourselves around really understanding those drivers that we've got, that identity shift, that value shift. But there's a lot of work as well with organizations around how do you support people whose priorities are changing.
And I'm really interested in this sort of psychology aspect of when identifying that value shift is sort of the first part, and again, sort of almost accepting that, which I know I still to this day find really hard. I feel I have to say yes to everything. And I suppose, so then once, if you do get to a point where you can accept that, then what do you do with it? Does it mean that you have to accept, okay, maybe this job, this employer isn't right for me? And how do you, I guess, mentally get comfortable with that? How do you help your clients with all of this stuff?
I do think the first, and it's not a quick thing, I think, that identity kind of and values realign, I think, you know, for me, my daughter's 6 and I feel like it's still ongoing. You know, to be honest with you, I don't have family in my core value set, but I do have, you know, love and connection. And that's the bit. But that took time for me to work out. And I think when I'm working with clients, I think that acceptance as well is that this evolves just as our children evolve through stages and our roles evolve. Also, our who we are does change. But once you've got a bit of clarity around that, around, okay, so what is important to me now? The next step is then getting a little bit practical with going, okay, so how do I make sure that those values are alive? What does this look like in a really kind of practical behavioural way? So what does it mean? So if I say, so for me, that value of love and connection, what it specifically means to me is that I give my attention as much as I can. So I am as present with the people that I love as much as possible. I'm really specific about what that looks like. For somebody else, it might be that I stop work at 2:30 two times a week in order to go and pick my child up, and then I log back on late, or whatever it looks like. But I think it's getting to quite a kind of behavioural, practical piece of going, what does that actually mean? And I spoke about contracts with our organisational contract. I think there's something about having a bit of a contract with ourselves and with our families around, what does that really mean? What does that look like? Where do I need to put boundaries? Where do I need to be saying no to things? Where do I need to be putting my attention?
And I know, Hazel, you talk about, I remember when we first met, you talked about this idea of back to brilliant, which I love, and especially, I think, certainly for new mothers, you know, when, as we've just talked about, everything changes. And I remember myself thinking, God, I am never going to be that person that I was before. But also in the context of what we've lived through in the last 18 months, certainly the last 12 months, the school closures, you know, in, out, everyone's having down with COVID, and actually looking back to and trying to get back to, you know, the way things were, is that the wrong lens to be looking through? And should we be, slightly putting words in your mouth here, but should we be looking to build on that experience, however good, bad, horrific it was, and then looking forwards? I suppose, you know, I'm really into this idea of, okay, what can next year hold for us? What can we drive forward that's going to be positive for working women?
So a kind of, say, a typical psychologist approach is a bit of both in my mind. So I think, so a lot of the work that I do is actually about remembering. When we're busy, when we're on that treadmill, I call it the autopilot of survival. When we're in that place, we often forget the things that are helpful to us. We forget the things that are important to us. We forget who we are. We don't hear that kind of inner wisdom voice. We're driven kind of like on, just do the next thing. And what I've seen a lot over the last year and a half is although, yes, that's been there for a lot of people, you know, at various times, depending on whether the schools are open or not. But also it has been, you know, the quieter periods were times to actually, I've remembered, you know, maybe that creative thing that I like doing, or I've remembered how lovely it is to, you know, spend time with my family without all the outside distractions and going, oh, I mean, you know, being a taxi service, going from one activity to another. So I think, you know, holding on to some of that remembering that's happened over the last year and a half, I think is really important. And then I think you're right around, okay, so what can I create? What is it that I want to proactively bring back in? Because again, I think you're right. It's like, it's not a, I just want to go back to how it was 2 years ago. Because do you know what? For a lot of people that I worked with early in the pandemic, you know, they said to me, I'm really stressed now, but this isn't new. I think it's just highlighted that things weren't working for me before. Yes, I was surviving. I was doing it, but it wasn't working. It wasn't what I would actively choose. And I think as much as we can be awake to what our choices are, the better.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And I know you talk, I want to sort of dig a bit deeper on this idea of acceptance therapy, because I love the sound of it. I'm not sure that I know what it is. And I think, well, if you could explain a bit more about what it is, but is that part of playing into the, okay, making your peace with the past and getting to a point where you can now create your future?
Yeah, so it's called acceptance and commitment therapy, ACT. And it's it comes from, you know, a therapeutic place, but I use it in coaching. What it's all about, so it's kind of three aspects. So there's the bit that we call wake up, which is that acknowledgement, you know, of being in autopilot and finding ways to come into the present moment. That doesn't have to be full, you know, mindfulness or meditation, but just being able to switch out and notice. And then there's the loosen up bit, which is about relating to our thoughts in a helpful way. So noticing that we get into these kind of spirals of thought and we have these repeat records on. And I think being able to distance ourselves from particularly the critical voice and notice where we're really fused with beliefs and ideas and loosen up a bit. So give ourselves a bit of flexibility around that. And then the third bit is step up, which is taking values-based action. So going, right, I've given myself a little bit of space to be able to think about what's really important, and now I'm going to take action around it. It's incredibly powerful. I think, one, it there's an acceptance of what it is to be human, and that it's really, really normal to be hard on yourself. It's really, really normal to have these really deep set beliefs that, I am not enough, which get in the way. And it's different from cognitive behavioral therapy in the sense that it's not about getting rid of it. It's not about, calming the mind and getting to this totally zen place where, all of my thoughts are wonderful and positive. What it is going, do you know what? That's going to happen. The rubbish is going to happen from outside me, from inside me. The thing that I can really do is to notice it and to kind of give it a nod and say, yep, I know what you're doing. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on my values. I'm going to focus on the stuff that's important, and I'm going to take, active steps in that direction. And I guess what I love about it, I mean, it's very different to kind of my normal non-directive coaching. What's great is it gives clients a toolkit. It gives them some things to take away and practice and go, this is some stuff that when I have those thoughts coming in, when I have some difficult feelings, I've got some tools to do something with it.
So what does that look like? If I was coming to you as a client and saying, this is all the stuff I've been through in the last 12 months, and I just can't keep going on round and round in this cycle, which I think is, being really honest, that's a very, very, that's very realistic sort of mindset that I have at the moment, and I'm sure therefore loads of others. You talk about a toolkit. So is it literally kind of writing things down, and when you feel like you're getting back into that cycle again, you just take yourself off, or how does it manifest? How do you actually do it?
Yeah, I mean, so things like journaling, things like writing are really helpful. The tools themselves within ACT, we would work on them together. So a really simple one as an example is called diffusion, and it's taking a statement. So say that you have the I am not enough or I'm a failure. I mean, my classic is I'm a failure. So let's use that. And then I work with clients to move that to a place where they're like, oh, I'm noticing a thought that I'm a failure. So what I'm doing with them is giving them different tools. I mean, that's a linguistic tool, but around how you can distance yourself a little bit. So noticing those particular thought patterns that come up a lot, and then being able to catch yourself. Because something like an I am statement is, it's heavy. If I connect with I'm a failure, I don't want to go and do stuff. I don't want to go and, take action. Honestly, I want to go and sit on my sofa and eat giant Dairy Milk buttons and watch, some Love Trap, whatever rubbish is on at the moment. When I really connect with that, that's what I want to do. So it's helping clients to go, it's that thought. I'm noticing that I'm having that thought that I'm a failure. And, even as I say that, it feels lighter. There's wriggle room. There's suddenly some flexibility, whereas defining yourself as an I am is, there's nowhere to go from that.
I love that. It's so powerful. It's so powerful, and yet so simple the way you explain it. Yeah, I guess that's the beauty of what you do. So just to talk a little bit about your coaching. So obviously you went from sort of organizational psychology aspect, and then you also have trained as a coach, and now you're sort of seeing clients one to one and doing work in companies as well. What drew you to that? What was it that made you think, oh, I know, I think I can do this? Was it the similar drivers?
Yeah, it actually took me a long time to come to coaching, actually. I think my late 20s, when I was in a leadership role, and people kept asking me, would you coach me? And I was quite dismissive. I'd be like, no, I'm not a coach, I'm a doer. And actually, do you know what? I don't want to help you create stuff. I want to be doing it myself. And then, yeah, I think as my career progressed, and I guess I matured a bit, I suddenly thought, actually, do you know what? This would be a really helpful skill set to have anyway. And then when I left my job 5 years ago, I knew that I was going to go and do training and facilitation. And I thought, actually, you know, working one-to-one, you know, is really powerful. As a gift to myself, I went and did my formal coaching qualification then. Yeah, and discovered it's just the tip of the iceberg. And I've learned so much, I think, over the last 5 years. And I've worked with, you know, hundreds of clients now, and I feel like I'm still learning. It's fascinating, because I think it's one of those things that from the outside, it's like, well, you're just talking to someone. How can it be so powerful? But it continues to amaze me just how powerful creating that space, holding that space, and helping someone to gain a different perspective. It still blows
me
away.
It really is. I'm such a fan, as you know, of coaching, really effective coaching and communities. And I think that's the way that we will unlock all of these societal issues that we have around gender diversity in the workplace. Just having that space, as you say, completely non-judgmental, and being able to unlock the power that is within us all, I think. And what sort of area do you specialize in, a particular area of coaching? If somebody is out there listening right now and thinking, I like the cut of her jib, I'd like to get in touch. what's your specialist area?
So I've tended to specialize in resilience or kind of burnout prevention. So I guess my ideal client has always been someone which is quite hard to identify, but is kind of just on that tipping point, which is, as I know from experiencing burnout myself, is actually the point where you're like, I don't need any help. I'm superwoman, you know, I'm doing it. It's like, I'm doing it. And then I go. So yeah, finding them is quite hard sometimes. But I guess that's why, oh God, it sounds awful to say it was a real gift, but to be working with the NHS over the last year and a half, you know, providing very specialist resilience coaching for people who were under immense pressure, I think, you know, I really found my stride, I think, I because it was so intensive, and it was so much about just how you know, when life is so fast paced and the kind of threat level is so high, how do you find a little bit of thinking space for yourself? How are you able to step back a little bit? And so I think, you know, having that time with clients at that point in their lives, to me, it does feel like a massive privilege to be able to do that. And so, yeah, I think that's probably still my area of specialism. But I do work with clients, you know, across a whole range of topics, because I think it's interesting, isn't it? I think people come to me, they see the psychologist bit, they see the acceptance and commitment therapy, and they're like, oh, you know, I need to come to this person. It's kind of, I don't know, before counselling. So it's like prevention, you know, kind of preventative. But actually, I don't think I work with any client where, you know, we're not looking at the mind, or we're not looking at how we're talking to ourselves. It's something that it comes in everywhere, doesn't it? You know, if I get a client who wants to work with me because of confidence, it's well, yeah, that makes sense. It's about how we're talking to ourselves.
Yes. Yeah. And how can people find out more about you? Obviously, you have, you're one of the Careering Into Motherhood kind of career coach partners.
Yep. So I've got a page on your website with lots of information and some, yeah. And I think the quotes from, you know, testimonials from clients are useful, aren't they, to see the type of difference that working together can make. I'm also on Instagram as the Healthy Happy Psychologist, where I talk about kind of the practices that I try to do to stay healthy and happy, and the successes and failures. Yeah, so that's probably the best places to find me.
feel very mellow and calm after talking to Hazel, clearly someone who's incredibly qualified and good at what she does. Just that recognition of realising that we all get ourselves into a certain thought pattern and go round and round in circles, but using the tools that she talked about and finding acceptance of those thought patterns really can help you deal with them more effectively. As always, you can find out more about my guests and find free coaching resources and tools over on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, please do remember to follow. And if you can spare 2 minutes, please leave a review. It really does help. Thank you, and I'll be back in 2 weeks' time.